T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Jeez. Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a capaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Sal's going to join us, and he is with us thanks to New York's only outlet, Liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Sal's is hanging out on the Western Hotline, talking with us for a living. Good morning, Mr. Capaccio. Happy mandatory minicamp day to you, sir.
Yeah, you as well, guys. We're finally here, the last 3 days, and then training camp on the horizon.
It cannot get here fast enough. I really need training camp, because that means I'm getting closer to the regular season. I'm going through withdrawal here, Sal.
I hear you. I kind of feel like that sometimes, but give me that month still of having summer, okay?
can I
get that
That's
before
right.
I have to?
This is yeah. no, this is
yeah,
fun.
Can I have that?
For football media, this next month is it.
Bit.
You're right. Like anybody who covers the league on a regular basis, this is your 1 month to breathe before you dive back into, you know, crazy.
Listen, the secret, though, is it's all not that bad for the last couple of months. It's okay. So we're all right, you know. Once we hit, you know, end of July, it's full steam ahead. But, you know, there's a lot to get to today. And I mean, you know, for a team that's as veteran-laden as the Bills now and all the continuity they have, I think, you know, these sessions are important.
One thing that'll be interesting, Sal, I don't know if there's any way to really kind of lay it out how it will be definitely different, but expectations different. You know, you've talked about Sean McDermott saying you kind of got to – build it from the ground up. I feel like Brian Daboll said something like that too. Like, you don't get to ride your momentum from last year. You start over again, basically, and try and create the number one offense in the league again. Do you think they do anything different this time around? I don't know what that means about structuring practices, but just it's every year is different. This year, the expectations might be the biggest thing that's different for fans, because this team is supposed to be very, very good.
Yeah, I think once we get into the regular season, we'll know a little bit more about that, Jeremy. But I do wonder how last year's pandemic, causing lots of different ways that they had to structure everything, how that might play into this year. Because everybody learned a lot, right? You learned a lot about how you need to kind of navigate through all of that. And there's still some of that out there, right? We don't know what it's going to look like. So I think, to me, that's a big part of the storyline right now, which is how do these OTAs, we know kind of, we've been out there for the OTAs, how do these mini camps, you know, go with that? I think we can get a feel for that. But what about training camp? You know, what are the protocols once that comes around? And how do teams and the Bills specifically here, you know, navigate? Because last year was all new, and they were learning it. And they're going to take some things from there and say, oh, well, you know what? If we're in the same situation, we have to do this differently or that differently. So we won't know that until training camp. But I do find, I would say, though, that they probably learned a lot of things, that they do have to tweak a thing here or a thing there that they think would be better for them.
Sal, do you think, to Jeremy's question about McDermott and Daboll, all these guys talking about, and they're right, by the way, last season earned you nothing for the coming season.
Right.
Are players able to do that, too? As fans, we don't. Like, I don't just forget that 2020 happened, and I automatically think, well, they're going to win the division, and they're going to be, you know, playing Kansas City probably to get to the Super Bowl. But every season is different. I know, can players shut it off and not be human beings, basically, and go into the season thinking, yeah, we're really good. We're going to take this division, and let's see Kansas City in the AFC Championship game again. It's okay for us. Do those guys just close that stuff out?
I think it's really hard for them to do that, to be able to, I think they have to reset. They have to start over again. They have to have that mentality. I think that's how they got to where they are.
Right.
You know, where every single day is a new day for them. But here's the other part of this. I think that really is a mindset that is, and that is part of the culture that Sean McDermott has created, which is that, you know, every single day you come to work is a new day. It's a new day to get better, you know, and, you know, try to be better today than you were yesterday. And you can never believe that, you know, you've arrived.
Right.
But I think that's been instilled for 4 years now in this team. So anybody that comes into this organization, even if you're, you know, kind of new to it, I think you get that right away. You get that feeling, you get that knowledge of, you have to come every single day with a new day prepared to work, and you can never rest on what you did in the past. And even if maybe you're someone of the mindset who kind of feels that way, I think that that probably leaves your blood pretty quickly here. But I think in general, professional athletes, they know they're good guys. Come on, right? They know they have a good team. They know what their goals are. They know their championship caliber. They can get to a Super Bowl. They can win a Super Bowl. They know that. But I don't think anybody thinks we're just going to walk on that field and win games. Every week is a new week. I think once the regular season starts, especially, that just takes a life of its own where it doesn't matter what you did in 2020 or 2019. Once the regular season starts, you're focused on the next opponent, the next game, and you can't allow yourself to do anything like that.
Same topic with an individual. You know, I would think about Josh Allen too, right? Now we would look at it and go, he's arrived. Last year was the breakthrough year. You know, you look at some of these quarterback rankings in the offseason, he's ending up in top five in almost every quarterback ranking, and you would look at that and go, well, it's a natural, he's just going to pick up where he left off and get even better. Now, of course, there's no guarantee to that. And again, it's mindset, Sal, right? Josh Allen can't go into the offseason individual and think, I made it. I'm here. He's got to work hard, and he's got to get better, and he's got to keep working on right technique and footwork and do all the things and put in the time and the commitment to take another step up this coming season. There's no guarantee.
Yeah, I think a few things at play with Josh here. Number one is more of the small picture, which is, and you know, I'll say it this way, the small picture, I mean, you know, the contract is a big thing, obviously.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, I think that, you know, he's still playing for a contract. He really is. He's not under contract. You know, I think that's obviously something we've all talked about. He knows about that. You know, he's trying to earn a living at the highest of levels, you know, in this sport and, you know, become the franchise quarterback the team ultimately pays and has to pay a lot of money to him. And that's a part of it. The other thing is that was super impressive to me was when we first spoke to him a while back and he said, you know, Josh, what are you working on? I mean, hey, you had this great year. You were the runner up to the league MVP. You had amazing statistics. And he got even into the weeds of the in-cut route. You know, I threw the in-cut route as good as I should have, right? Well, I think when you're that dialed into specific routes that you need to throw a little bit better, because would any of us have said that? I mean, you remember when he didn't throw the deep ball well? We all knew that, right? His rookie year. Like, how come he can't hit the deep ball? He's got to work on that. That was kind of in front of your face.
Yeah.
You knew he had to throw the deep ball better. Maybe it was after his second year, whatever. Would any of us have said, you know, he better throw that in-cut route a little bit better?
You didn't
might
see
I'm not thinking that did, way. Sal, you might be yelled at if you did.
You didn't see the big article I posted about that? I did a full article about in-cuts. I can't. All right, fine.
Go ahead. So, I mean, for him to come out and say that, I think means he is really kind of dialed into the little things that he needs to improve on to be the best quarterback he can be. And then I think the third part, which is what I mean, the big picture here, Josh Allen is an alpha male. It's what he is. He is a leader. He is a guy that has been groomed to be a quarterback his entire life, a leader on an athletic field, just his personality. And I think that plays into he's never going to sit back and say, I've arrived. I just can't imagine this young man with this personality being like that. He never strikes me as anyone. I don't care if he won a Super Bowl, if he wins two Super Bowls. Josh Allen just doesn't strike me as a person who says, hey, that's good. I'm good. I've had a great career. It doesn't matter what happens from now on.
Sal with us, 803-0550. Sal will be at Mandatory Minicamp covering it for us today. John in West Seneca, you're on WGR with Sal. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
So a big question that I think that we need to talk about going into the season is that, like, is the addition of Sterling Tulley really going to bring back our defense to kind of 2019 form? Because I remember, you know, obviously when we came back the last year and our defense started allowing a lot of points, everyone started asking the question, what was wrong? And a lot of people, you know, said it was Sterling Tulley because, you know, he's this big defensive tackle that kind of takes up the A-gap. And, you know, I can totally understand when people say the defensive line helps out the linebackers and the linebackers help out the safeties. So I can understand why one person's absence can maybe lead to a chain of events that would make a defense go from top three to maybe average to below average. And I don't think we talked about it enough because we were just so clamored with the offense scoring 500 points. So I think my big question is, do you think Starlatulloy's addition is going to make, you know, this defense go back from average to top three?
I do not think that one particular individual, in this case, Starlatulloy, this is a really fascinating question because, of course, he's going to help. And I think that this is a big focus of exactly what you said. You're not wrong at all. Like when people said last year, what's wrong? One of the first things anybody would point to, well, you know, they're really, really missing Star in the middle. I want to caution people, though, thinking that, oh, this is a quick fix. It's Star. There were other things that went wrong with this defense last year. They couldn't get to the quarterback as well as they wanted. I mean, getting him down. You know, Leslie Frazier said, you know, they pressured the quarterback quite a bit. And I agree with that. I think they got to the quarterback, you know, pressure-wise a little bit more, you know, than people realize. But they didn't get the quarterback down. But the other part of this was, like, they gave up some more deep passes last year than we're used to. You know, I don't think they tackled as well as they wanted to, especially early in the year. That probably has nothing to do with Starlatulloy. He's on the field 50% of the time. He's mostly on rundowns. So, you know, I would caution anybody against thinking, A, that suddenly getting Starlatulloy is just going, oh, we're so fine now. We're going to vault back up into the top whatever of defense. But also, you know, just thinking that that was that or pinning it on him and being gone, right? That's the other part of it. Don't just pin it on, oh, Star, and he opted out. It's because of him. They needed to play better on defense last year as a group, and especially over the first 6 weeks or so, they were not the same unit we had seen. Part of that, though, guys, as we've pointed out many times, it's score effect. The Bills' offense is so good, teams are more aggressive against them. And when teams are more aggressive against them, sure, you might have more opportunities to make plays, but you're going to give up more plays, and I think that is something you have to be aware of.
Probably should, before we let you go, do the whole reminder thing. Mandatory minicamp is open to the media. And I think when we, you know, when we talk about the Bills, Sal, obviously when, you know, questions and positions and battles and cornerback too will always come up. So would you want to remind people again, if you follow Sal on Twitter, he is at practice today and you would probably, hey Sal, who's at cornerback two with the starters? You know, is Ford at left guard with the starters? Just remind everybody again, you basically can't tell anybody that stuff.
We have plenty of, you know, restrictions on what we can and can't report. There's a lot of things we can tell you, but we can't tell you who lined up where. I cannot tell you if a certain offensive lineman played guard or tackle or center. I cannot tell you if he was on the first team or second team or what cornerback was on the first team or second team. Can't even really tell you who was returning punts or kicks with the first unit. Any reps, units, who's on nickel defense, can't do that. I could tell you that Josh Allen threw a really nice ball, deep ball to Stephon Diggs. I'm not going to be able to tell you exactly where he came from, what route it was, who it was against. You know what I mean? Those are just kinds of things that, you know, restrictions are placed on the media. But that's what we've had to deal with for a year or so. So we've kind of been able to, you know, get through that part of it. But yes, you're right. People inevitably do ask. The other thing people ask all the time is, why didn't you have video of that play? Well, because there's only certain times we can shoot video or take pictures during practice. Once they're done with stretching and individual position work, cameras get shut down. Whether that's me or someone from one of the local news channels on television or whomever it is, we cannot shoot video past a certain point. So when the fight occurred last week between Feliciano and Epinesa, I got a lot of people saying, well, why is there no video of this? What, none of you guys were, you know, no, we can't. Like, that's during a 11-on-11 portion or a 7-on-7 portion where, you know, that's all shut down. But that's been for years. That's been, you know, you go back to training camp many years ago, you weren't allowed to do things like that. And then finally, just a personal one here, guys. I shoot video on my iPhone. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. But I'm not like this guy with this huge camera and this huge lens out there. So sometimes I shoot video and people say, why are you so far away? Well, A, because we can only stand a certain spot, but B, because it's on my phone and I'm a radio reporter trying to give you some video. So I just want to make people aware of that before it happens.
I figured out how to beat the system. You ready? So tomorrow, yeah, you're going to be on with us tomorrow. When we talk about cornerback two, I will ask you, hey, Sal, by the way, what do you prefer, Alabama barbecue or Pittsburgh Primanti Brothers sandwiches? And then you'll answer based on which player is starting. If it's Levi Wallace, you tell me you like Alabama barbecue. If it's Dane Jackson, you say, I like Primanti Brothers from Pittsburgh.
You know,
genius.
I don't think that I want to go down that road, Howard, to be honest with you. I actually enjoy my access at Bills training, at Bills mini camp, and I would like to be there the next day, too.
It's food choices, Sal. It has nothing to do with reps. I'm just getting food choices from you.
All right. Well, food that you would inevitably not try, by the way, right?
Oh, no, I've had both. I've had both. I love Primanti Brothers sandwiches with the fries on them. And I have had Alabama barbecue when UB played Auburn years ago. We had a chance to go out and enjoy some local delicious barbecue.
What if you asked me that and my answer was, I don't know, that's a wild goose chase.
Oh, then it's the kid they drafted. What's his name? Rashard
Wild Goose.
Yeah, him.
You're assuming it's
And if you,
know,
don't
one
answer
guys,
the question, it means they're still bringing in a veteran free agent cornerback. I got to go see where Richard Sherman played college ball.
There you go.
All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Stanford? Okay. There you go. Something about the band being on the field. Oh, no, that was Cal. Anyway, Sal, tomorrow morning at 7, you good with that?
I think I'll be around. Yeah.
Okay. I'm booking you now so
I
don't forget later in the day. Off my to-do list. Thank you, Mr. Capaccio.
Okay.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.